Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter the world of the unknown. There is a silent, invisible world that surrounds us all. A world we don't understand. A world that we wish to understand. And on Paranormal Horizons, we're going to explore this and hopefully get some answers. Happy Sunday, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And I'm here with the beautiful and talented Sherry Pang, as usual. Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you, Jason? How's your week going?
It's going not too bad. I'm keeping busy as usual. Nothing too exciting going on. At some point, I wanted to talk about a dream I had last night, which was kind of frightening. Hopefully, it wasn't prophetic, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. How was your week?
Very good. Very eventful and just busy readings and just life is good. I have nothing to complain about. A lot of synchronicities in my life, but very good things happening.
Well, that's good. It must be, you know, your positive intentions, because as we know, intention is everything. If you're putting out the positive vibes, you're going to get it back.
Exactly. And we have to try and be mindful for every thought and action and emotion that we feel, definitely. So how was your week? What have you been doing, Jason?
I've been doing what I always do. I just work. It seems like I just work all the time, even though I only work like everybody else 40 hours a week. I work four 10-hour shifts, and it just seems like always work. I don't know.
Wow.
Need to find a new hobby. Need to find something.
Well, I missed you at the Bigfoot Fest.
Yeah.
Last Saturday. It was great.
I don't remember if I asked you last week, were there a lot of people there?
There was a lot of people. I don't think the traffic was as high as last year. It is the second year. It's a good venue, but, you know, they have a few things. I mean, it's good, and they had a few things that they need to refine for, you know, being an open event. But yeah, it was a good event, and got out there and did a lot of readings. Paranormal Horizons was out there, and it was good. It was a very good event. Got to, like I said last week, I think I said that I was hanging out a little bit with Clyde Lewis's wife. And most of you who don't know, Clyde Lewis is a very well-known radio station host in the Pacific Northwest. He travels extensively all around the United States and sometimes and globally. And he's on 325 syndicated radio, FM radio stations all across the United States. And I hung out with his wife last Saturday. She's what a beautiful soul. And got a chance to talk to Clyde himself and Cliff Rockman. So Cliff Rockman will probably be back maybe before the end of the year is out. So Mr. Bigfoot himself.
We got to figure out how to get on 300 radio stations. You know, I'd be happy with just one. I mean, we used to be on a couple, but hopefully one of these days, if there's anybody out there listening that is the owner or program manager of a radio station in Portland, let's get hooked up. We got to get on the actual airways again.
Yes, we do, and I'm in the midst of doing that. But, you know, with my life, I've got so much on my plate. It's crazy. As you know, Jason, I've got a lot going on. And so I'm trying to balance everything out, and yeah, we'll get there. We're right now in the midst of just working on some work on FM stations. So as soon as we get you guys abreast of what's going on, we will share the happy news. But I look forward to being on FM.
Absolutely. So I don't know what your take on dreams is, Sherry. Oh, and I should mention that it's just you and I tonight. We have no ghosts, so we're just going to be winging it this evening. And just talking about whatever, right?
That is correct. And if anybody would like to call in or share their experiences or have any questions to Jason and I just about the paranormal, metaphysical, go ahead and call us at 1-215, and it's 383-3999. Again, you can call us in live on air, 1-215-383-3999.
Absolutely. So I got to tell you about this dream. Well, before I tell you about this dream I had last night, let me ask you, what are your take on dreams? Do you think that people can have prophetic dreams, or do you think they're just random neurons firing in the brain, or however that works?
I believe what you said is the former. We can I call them dream sensitives, where people can have dreams that can predict what happens before they happen. That's what it is.
Well, I don't consider myself to be psychic in the least. At least if I have any psychic ability, I've suppressed it, because the last thing I want, and I've mentioned this before, is to be psychic and be like Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost, where there's, you know, dead people following me around. I have no interest in opening myself up to the psychic realm. But I had this dream last night, and it seemed significant in that I always remember my dreams. It felt significant. It felt like there was something to it. And basically what that was I was in Portland, and the only best way to describe it is Portland was attacked with a big nuclear device, like an atomic bomb or whatever. But this didn't feel like countries fighting. This felt like more of like alien invasion style.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was crazy. So there's this huge, massive nuclear-type explosion in the city, and I'm scrambling to get below ground. I was, like, downtown with a lot of high-rises, and I'm scrambling to get in, subterranean, so I'm not killed by the blast, and I managed to do that. And so eventually what happened, and my memory is a little spotty, but I ended up going outside after the blast. And what started to happen was that whatever this weapon was created fissures in the earth, and magma and all that started to come up. It was totally, completely apocalyptic. So I was trying to avoid all these fissures with these mini volcanoes going off. And then the earthquakes began, and we're talking major, major earthquakes, and the buildings were collapsing on each other. It was mayhem. So I was running outside to avoid the earthquake. The earthquake stopped, and then I went back in the building to get some stuff I had in this apartment in this high rise. And then the earthquake started again. So I run back outside, and then strangely out of place, there was an old single story church made out of like stucco or whatever, something you might see in New Mexico. And as this earthquake was happening, I'm bouncing up in the feet in the air because the earth's shaking so bad. This church is bouncing up like 8-10 feet in the air and landing back up, bouncing up, bouncing down, like it's completely off its foundation. But it's not being damaged. It's like the only thing that's not being damaged. These high rises are collapsing. It was the weirdest thing. Like, I don't even know how to begin to interpret that. What's your take?
Wow, I have no idea. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a dream interpretation person. So, you know, even if I said something, I have no idea. Dreams, they have symbol. I believe it's symbology. A lot of these things. I have a dream book, and I never really got into it. I have one of those books where you just sit in the bookshelf for eons, and when you think about it, you know, you look at this, and each little thing that has, whether it's chasing, whether it's a hospital, whether it's a dead loved one, if it's a flower, they symbolize different things. So I have no idea what could it mean. Maybe it is something that you're looking way beyond the future that can happen, because there are people, and I do believe, Jason, you are gifted in your own ways. Just you haven't come to terms with it and be able to work with it if you decide to open that door. So, it's just something that some people just have that natural ability. They can see within their life or another person's life, In your case, you're seeing what's going to happen, you know, into the world. And it's sometimes it's really frightening. Sometimes if you can use it correctly, if you feel that it's possible that if you have a good, you know, rating as far as it comes true, then you can warn people or maybe, I don't know if you can manipulate the outcome. I have no idea, but at least you're aware and you maybe can help those that, you know, you're just sharing that right now. So I think that's great.
I want to say that if I do have latent psychic ability or powers, the only way I'd want to open that up is if I could somehow manifest unicorns.
Manifest unicorns.
or you know, the typical fare like invisibility or psychokinesis, you know, manipulating objects. That would be super cool. But that's about it. That's my only interest.
That's cute. I think we all come in with psychic abilities to a certain extent. So having a hunch or, you know, having an intuition, you know, being an intuitive is a psychic ability, but it's just whether you, you know, hone into it and you work with it all the time and be able to trust what you have. So, you know, in my profession as a psychic medium, I'm not only intuitive, but I'm also psychic. There is a difference. And so, you know, if you work with it all the time on a daily basis, and it could be either personal and or professional, you know, it just becomes second nature. So, you know, when somebody calls me or say, hey, can you do this? And I'm, you know, I have their permission. I open that door. Boom, there you go. I just download really quick. So, But, yeah, it's interesting, but I'm really glad you can share that on air, and it's, you never know what's going to happen, conspiracy. I mean, we, you know, it's a touchy subject, but as we talked about in a lot of our great guests that we've had on our show, there's so many things that can happen we don't know, you know. All we can do is just try and love each other and not, you know, just work together as a team.
So if my dream is prophetic, you heard it first on Paranormal Horizons. If there's a volcanic eruption, alien invasion, or massive earthquake, you heard it here first.
And it's also recorded.
Yeah, yeah. People will go back and go, yeah, that guy, should have listened to him. He had this crazy dream, and then it ended up coming true.
I know. Don't you ever have dreams sometimes that it ever comes true? Has it ever happened to you, Jason?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. So I'm thinking that the odds of these things happening is probably pretty slim, since I don't have a history.
I'm not dream sensitive myself, and I know there are people are, but then I just haven't tapped into that, and you know, it just hasn't come to me that way. But like I said, there are people that are, you know, more. I wouldn't say talented, but came in with that gift. So, yeah, pay attention.
Yeah, and I also hear that there are a lot of other people that are having similar dreams or premonitions. So maybe there's more to it. But I do notice we do have a caller. I don't know if they're just listening or they want to talk. So let's go ahead and see who this is.
That would be wonderful. Hello, welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Hey, guys. It's Joel.
Hey, Joel, how are you?
All right, how about you? Didn't know how well it was coming through there for a second. I called in earlier and it dropped on me. Gotta love cell phones.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I called in a little bit ago, but it dropped on me.
No.
I blame the CIA.
It seems to be pretty stable now. You know, me and Michael have joked about that before, that sometimes the NSA is like, no, I think you talked about that enough today, and quit. You know, interesting about your dream. I have to say that because especially looking at what's going on with everything in the world right now, we've got volcanoes erupting in Hawaii. They're also getting hit by the strongest hurricane that's ever hit in Hawaii. You've got basically the entire west coast of North America on fire. I mean, here in British Columbia, we have 560 wildfires going right now, one of them burning at least the size of Los Angeles. And it's definitely making you believe in time theory
Hey, Joel,
I know that they're...
why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yeah, I guess I kind of forgot that one. My name is Joel Walling.
I'm home
now. I've been on the show a couple of times.
I'm trading seats with you.
Yeah. I've been on this show a couple of times. I host a podcast myself called The Paranormal Night Stalker, actually technically a live stream now because we do live on Facebook and on our site. Plus, we do it's still podcast available everywhere, and I'm also a team member along with Sherry of Paranormal North Coast, British Columbia. Would have been a good idea to have led with that one.
That's great. I have to say, this team is, I really enjoy, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, these guys are pretty, very, very down to earth. They're a research team. They know their stuff. They've been at the business for a long time. It's not about ego. It's like finding people, helping people, but also finding out the research about EVPs, spirit box, those kind of things. And they're looking at it from a technical and scientific point of view. And these guys are really, I can't speak highly enough for them. And I'm really proud to be part of their team as a consultant and as a remote viewer.
So that's where mine and Michael, well, my I guess you'd say my day job, as I'm actually a computer tech. So I've actually been to school and everything to work with computers. And when I came into the paranormal, that's what I started looking at, is, you know, there's a certain law that everything works on. And it's not exactly the kind of law that you're going to see blue light flashing or anything like that, but it's certain things have to happen in a certain order, and they work a certain way, and that's just the way it is. So that's the way I looked at it. And then with Michael's, his background is also in the scientific side of it, because he was he used to read heart monitors and worked in medicine. So that's really where how we connected in. We were both part of the same team, but that was where our side went and came in. We were the R&D of the team. We've always been research and development. Like right now, and this is something that may interest you guys, our main right now working is electronic voice phenomena, which I kind of don't agree with the term fitting with the spirit box, because technically the electronic voice phenomena started with, you know, it was something that was recorded and then later heard. It was not something that was audible to the ears inside of the room. So I think we need maybe a new definition for the stuff we get through spirit boxes. Not trying to downplay any of that, because I have gotten some absolutely amazing stuff through a spirit box. And I know people, you look at the me, Pete, and another member named Pete Wren. He's the head of the Vancouver Paranormal Society. He's also a member of our team. When you put me, him, and Michael together, you're looking at over 30 years experience in the paranormal field. So that's, you know, but me and Michael have been focusing on the EVP side of it and working on, to put it in a nutshell, is the frequency that EVP would be broadcast at. And not only a way of receiving that broadcast without the white noise and the constant static of a spirit box, also being able to broadcast on it. So basically, kind of going back to the Edison version of the spirit world telephone.
What do you think, Jason?
I've captured EVPs before, and some that made, you know, me raise my eyebrows. The whole thing with, like, the, you know, where it's scanning frequencies and giving you words, I'm kind of put that in the same realm as like pareidolia, just randomness. But I've heard some compelling stories about intelligent responses to specific questions. I'm open to it, but I just have to say, I'm kind of skeptical on it. Even just standard EVPs off of a digital recorder, you know, because there's all sorts of things we might not necessarily hear that could be interpreted in our brain as being an intelligent response, but it's just a weird sound in the background, you know.
Yeah, there is definitely a major case of pareidolia in a lot of it. And then also, the one I always find hilarious with the spirit box is actually a guy I saw on YouTube, and I felt bad for him in the video, because he's sitting there and he's doing his session, and he goes, "Hello, is there anyone who would like to speak to me?" And all of a sudden he gets "Hello" coming through here, and you think, you know, he's about to have a heart attack. His eyes fly open, his mouth hits the floor, and he's like, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" And it turns out it was actually, and that wasn't the other side she was referring to in the song, but, and he later in the comments was like, "Okay, I have listened to it now. Yes, that is Adele. I'm sorry, a radio station came through." That's something actually I used to really talk to, I tried to get the people that like developed spirit boxes and did this stuff to talk to us, because they're saying, "Oh, well, it moves so fast, it's impossible to catch a full word at the frequency sweep." And I'm like, not really, when you think about it, because if you look at the way the spirit box stands, and if you look at an actual AM FM radio, you pick up like 98.5 on 98.6, 98.7, and 98.0.1, like that. You actually pick the station up over 10 frequencies almost, or 10 different channels. So, yeah, a word like "hello," yeah, that's easy to come through, and it be in the same voice, because it's not. You have to detune the radio. You have to take out any ability. And even when you live in some place that's more populated than where I live, it's very hard to. I mean, when you have, like here in Kitimat, we have 3 radio stations, and that's it. So when you don't have that kind of gap in the radio station, and like even at my house, you can't pick up a radio station here. There's nothing close enough to us to pick up standard AM FM radio station. But when you live in some place like I used to live in Cincinnati, Cincinnati's got like 45 radio stations. It's very easy, even on a detuned radio, to pick up a radio station. And, you know, because like you were saying, the background air, just because we can't hear the signal or we can't receive the signal, it doesn't mean the signal isn't there. It just means our ability to receive the signal isn't.
And it's interesting how people...
There's a lot of stuff to come in.
It's interesting how people's brains interpret things differently, too, you know, whereas if I'm listening to an EVP and I hear the word Bob and it's clear as day, and then somebody else isn't hearing it, and then you tell them what you're hearing, it's like, "Oh, I hear it," you know.
Yeah.
It's like we hear different things.
I'm actually, I've done that. That's one of the reasons, like when I clip evidence for our team, you will never see what it is. I always label it like the case location, what device it was on, who recorded it, and the time it occurred in the full recording, and then it'll either be like voice one, sound one, something like that. It's never what I heard, because basically if I send it out to the 5 other members that are in the team, and I've heard, like you said, Bob, and one person doesn't hear anything, and another person hears, you know, "I am Sam" or whatever, it's basically saying, okay, there's nothing actually there. We're all just hearing different stuff. There is a sound there, but it's not an actual voice. It's just something we're piecing together ourselves.
Wow.
Yeah, I find it interesting. I mean, there definitely needs to be a lot more research on it, you know, to see if there's anything to it. But
that's what we're working on.
I think, you know, healthy skepticism is good in the field.
Oh, you have to have that. I've been through so many places and so many people that before I started doing this full time again, Michael actually used to, I was actually in the early part of the 2000s pretty well known for my abilities with recordings and EVP. So people would actually send me clips to verify what was on it, because it was actually something that if I sent something back and I said, "Yes, this is there, and this is what I heard, and this is all," it was almost a certifying. And you don't know how many people used to get so mad at me when I would be like, "I'm sorry, there's nothing there," or I can hear you and five other people talking over it, I can't say what I'm hearing because I can't say if that's one of the other people in the room. Oh, they would absolutely, this is a spirit. It was trying to make contact with me. It was my great-grandfather on my mom's side, and it's just like, well, okay, then. If that's what you heard, then congratulations. But, yeah, they're the people that believe it, and they do not want to hear anything different. They want to hear their opinion just in a different voice.
Now, not to change the subject, but when I was talking about my dream and everything else, you had mentioned that maybe, or something, the effect of it being the end times. Now, throughout history, everybody's always thought it's the end times. I'm kind of thinking that, something's going on. I think I kind of have this instinct that some serious stuff's going to go down. What's your take on that? Do you think that maybe it's just hype or being paranoid, or that we're actually in some sort of something's going on?
Well, not to really get on a soapbox or anything, but I mean, just the effects of climate change right now are really alarming. I mean, like where I'm at specifically, we have on average, if I remember right, it's almost 280 days of precipitation a year on average. We either have snow or rain 280 days.
Wow.
And we have had two brief showers here in the past probably 3 months. They're even worried about people using grills. You cannot have any type of fire that is not contained, and they're worried about people using grills. That is how bad the weather has got here. We have no rain. The temperature is higher than pretty much records. It's setting records over and over again. And the name Titimat actually means people of the snow. I have a picture that is literally me standing on the shoreline in Canada taking a picture of Alaska. That's how close I am to Alaska. And it was above 100 degrees. They've never had that up here. At one time, we were the hottest town in Canada. And that's really rare. So even if you don't want to put it into the biblical Armageddon sense of it, you can't deny that the world can't continue the way it is going for much longer. I mean, crops are going to die. Animals are going to die. They're not going to be able to, the world will not be able to sustain life. I mean, they don't really want to get up on a soapbox about it, but, you know, it's like I said, it cannot be, continue the way it's going, even if you don't want to look into the biblical sense, the sense of it. Now, in a biblical sense, if you want to really look at the way everything is being divided, I don't really want to call myself an expert or anything like that, but the conflict and stuff between the political parties in the U.S. with Trump as president, the different stuff going on in the Middle East. I mean, if you're looking at strictly following a biblical sense, then it's definitely starting to match up with that as well. But it's like that. I've seen a lot of people. I'm kind of a weird person on Facebook. I'm part of probably 20 different paranormal chat groups on there. Enough, you're mentioning the dreams, because I have actually been noticing here for like the past 3 or 4 days, more and more people, our dreams prophetic. I had the craziest dream. Why did I dream this? What does it mean? And there are some of them are not. Some of them are, you know, my uncle came to visit me and he's been dead for 20 years or something like that. But a lot of the other ones are, we were stuck in a fire, or we were, you know, trapped by this. And it's always kind of the same. There's some kind of disaster happening around them, and they're caught, and they're looking for a shelter. A lot like you were describing with finding the church. You know, everything around you was crumbling, and here stands this church untouched.
Yeah. That's so weird to me. Like, I'm not really religious. I don't go to church, and it almost made me wonder if there's sort of biblical implication there. I mean, that's the way it seemed to me.
Well, if I take it as a minister, I would say yes. It would be a kind of a, I guess you would say, a coming of faith. The only safe place being in the house of God. If I'm taking it from the clergy side of it. I'm one of those that, yes, I am ordained, but I kind of have my own sense and my own style of religion. While I do mainly practice Christianity, I have also mixed in part of a few others. I feel like if you keep the core of the actual teaching rather than the, I think the exclusion stuff that's been brought in a lot with organized religion, I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know how they could read the same book I read and get this where, you know, oh, you can be saved as long as you're not this, or you're, you know, black people aren't welcome in white churches and white people aren't welcome in black churches. And if you're gay, that's it. And all of this stuff, I think that's ridiculous. I didn't read any of that in there. I mean, if they want to go with what the Old Testament says, it's, you know, perfectly fine to sell your wife and daughter into sex slavery and you're going to hell if you meet a lobster, you know. So, I mean, if you're not going to follow that, then I don't think you can follow the rest of it. You can't pick and really choose. You either can say, no, I'm not going to accept that, or you follow it all. But, again, I've kind of got on my preachiness there. But like I said, it could be a question of faith if you want to look at it from that point of view.
Well, hopefully it was just a dream, because otherwise there's going to be a lot of destruction if that comes true. It was just odd. I mean, I've dreamt about volcanoes going off, and I'm always trying to get away from the volcano and or tidal waves, but this definitely had a different flavor to it. It seemed a little bit more detailed, and then I was talking to some other people who were saying, oh, you broke up there.
Alien.
I didn't hear you.
Sorry, it had an alien invasion in it too, didn't it?
Yeah, it was like a nuclear explosion, but my feeling was this wasn't like a missile. This was like a full-on thing, and whatever the weapon was similar to a nuke in that you have a mushroom cloud and it's massive, but it also created rifts or fissures in the earth that allowed explosive magma to come out, and then all that was followed by massive earthquakes that were probably 9+.
Wow. Jeez. Well, you know, actually, the earthquake thing, they're really, here we're apparently we have quite a few fault lines up through here, and they're actually kind of preaching at everyone up here to be ready, because there's a big one that has been predicted here. Of course, you know, with earthquake predictions, it could happen any time between right now and 100 years from now. But they do predict that there is going to be a catastrophic earthquake in this area sometime in the future. And
they say that.
And we also do live near a dormant volcano.
Yeah, there's a lot of volcanoes going up here. But they say that the Northwest is overdue for a megathrust earthquake, and those are like 9+. I think it has something to do with the North American plate, you know, hitting the – I don't know if it's the Juan de Fuca plate or something, but it's saying that they can tell geologically that when it happened last, and that it happens every so often, and like we're overdue, and which is scary because a lot of these buildings, you know, around here in Portland aren't earthquake resistant. I'm not going to say proof, but earthquake resistant, and it would be terrible if there was something like that happen. It would be chaos.
Yeah.
Joel, do you think it might happen in our lifetime, or what's your prediction as far as that? What you've seen happening? You think all this catastrophic and, you know, really, really, like the end of the world? Do you think that'll happen before we leave this earth, or what?
I'm one of those people that, you know, I've always said that I don't deny climate change, because I think you have to be a real idiot to do that. But my thing is it completely man-made, or is it man-accelerated? Because if you actually look goes over the history of the Earth. I've told you many times before that I'm a real history buff. I love everything to do with history. Starting from the prehistoric times, we have found catastrophic events every so often. Drastic climate change, drastic Earth changes. Remember, most of the continents were connected at one time, but a major earthquake separated. So there is a history of these events happening over and over and over and over, and it looks like we're heading for another one. And with the help of man being involved, where we've got more CO2 emissions and this kind of stuff, it's really a question of how fast are we accelerating that would naturally occur. Because, we can't, like I said, the world can't continue the way it's going. These wildfires, the earthquake is being predicted, that could happen. That earthquake could happen at any time. Even a smaller earthquake could move the plates just enough to trigger the major earthquake. Those kind of things, we're literally walking on a knife's edge, or dancing on a landmine. Sooner or later, it's going to end up going off. And when you've got more and more companies wanting to do, one of the big things that they're fighting here is the Keystone Pipeline for Kinder Morgan, because they're wanting to drill into the land with this pipeline. And there has been more water pollution and soil pollution, earthquakes triggered, and all of this stuff around these pipelines. And they're going, listen, you can't really do that here. The people are. Of course, the countries are looking at it as, look at the money. And they're not really taking the bigger picture into perspective. I mean, they say they are, but then again, look at the past. How many times have they said, yeah, don't worry, we got this all covered, and look at the shape everything's in now. So it's just a matter of time. And I mean, if enough of us use what power and what voices we have to say, hey, no, this has got to stop, or you're going to eliminate us as a species, then maybe we can put it off. If not, then who knows? It could happen anytime.
And we're not prepared. I don't think our infrastructure is prepared. I know they did some studies in Portland regarding the status of all the bridges and stuff like that. And yeah, it would be, most of these bridges would go down. And hopefully it doesn't happen in our lifetime, but it's going to happen eventually. Just like the caldera Yellowstone's going to pop one of these days. I've been hearing about a lot more earthquake swarms coming from Yellowstone lately, too. Not to be hell-bent on, some major catastrophe, yeah. But it's a lot of things people don't think about,
Yeah, for total world catastrophe here, but... Yellowstone has been dormant for so long. Well, actually, I don't even think many people even knew there was anything under Yellowstone. And that was something that just kind of, when they started saying, hey, we are getting a little bit of signs of activity here, and if this thing goes, this is huge, that's when people started going, wait a second, there's a volcano there? Most people just thought it was a national park. It had a big fountain in it. Burned it on a certain
yep.
time. Most people had no clue that it was what was actually there. Like I said, I live, it's actually kind of neat. It's a part of folklore. There's an area around, it's called the Nass Valley or something, and the natives that are there, they have the road that leads to the two villages, one's Kinkolas and one's New Ianch. It goes through a lava bed, and the old legend was that these two kids were tormenting salmon, and they angered one of the gods, and the gods came up out of the volcano and caused it to erupt. Well, the villagers ran, and they ran to one of the other gods, begging him to help. And he ended up causing one of the rivers. There's actually one called Lava Lake. And basically, it was at one time part of the river, but he brought the land up, flooding the land to stop the volcano, and created the lake. Well, the legend states that now the other god sleeps, But like with any other sleep, you will wake up again. And when this god wakes up, they will rain down the wrath again. The lava will return. So, I mean, even if you look, like I said, this legend is, you know, 1,000 years old or more. And it's still something that, you know, they're warning even now. That volcano sleeps. It's not dead. It's just asleep. It can erupt again. And that's, you know, that's not too far from where I live. And there's actually another, I didn't realize it until maybe a couple of years ago, there's actually two dormant volcanoes here. And, you know, like the people around here, it's something that you kind of, you know it's there. I guess it's kind of like in Hawaii. You know they're there. So rare that they go off. You just kind of go on about your life and hope for the best.
That's one of my greatest fears is, like, I'm nervous just being around a volcano. We have Mount St. Helens up here, and I was out there hiking around a few years ago, and it was just nerve-wracking because I would always have these dreams of volcanoes going off. And I don't know what it is about volcanoes. They just freak me out. Maybe it's just the sheer power.
Well, you know, there is another theory that goes into that. In dealing with past lives, they believe if you have like a fear of something like that, that's because it's the way you died in a past life.
I've heard that before.
You can't put anything around my neck. Even like I can show you pictures from my wedding, you'll notice that my tie is even like partially undone and down because I cannot. Not even a person can touch my neck, or I absolutely, absolutely terrified, freak out, and just get into fighting mode. I had a friend that she dabbled in it and read books on it and stuff like that, but she was like, you know, that may mean you were either strangled or hung in a past life.
That's what I think too.
Because, like, there was one time I had a kink in my neck, and my brother was, like, here, and he was trying to help me rub it, and I didn't realize what he was doing. He put his hands around my neck and almost punched it. This is my brother, and it's like, no, anything that touches my neck, I absolutely freak out. And it's like, you know, that's not a natural fear. I mean, people will, you know, I don't like heights either. It's not so much being up high, it's just the fact that if I fall, I'm going to get hurt, and I'm clumsy. So there's a good chance I'm going to fall. So, no, I like to stay more firmly planted on the ground. Thank you. But
I'm with you,
you know,
on that.
Stuff like that. Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
I'm big. When I fall, I get hurt. And that's it. And I'm clumsy. I fall enough as it is. I fell coming in the door earlier. So, it's like,
I'm 6'2", 240, and so I'm with you on being big. Us big guys, we can't take those falls like the little guys.
No, and definitely not at my age anymore. I'm in that Toby Keith mode where my mind says, you can do it, boy, but my body says, oh, no, you can't. Yeah, I'm in that age group now where I still think I can do it, but I can't. But yeah,
so
that's,
I
you
have
know,
a
like
question
a...
for you. So what can you tell us a little bit about it, not only tell us, but our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about the legend and have you had any experiences with skinwalkers? I've heard of them. Are they in the cryptozoology? Are they actually a ghost? What are they?
It really depends. The name skinwalker now has been given to a lot of different things because if you're going, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, but I believe it was from the Navajo that started the original skinwalker, and with the skinwalker legend that comes from them is a witch would summon a skinwalker. So I guess the best way to describe it in that sense would be some form of demon or something of that nature. Something that was from the other realm, had never had lived, was not a human of any time or any way. But she would summon it, and it would go, you know, go forth to do whatever, or, you know, I don't know if it was so much for revenge or if she could do it for hire or what it was, but it was something that was brought forth through summoning. Now, I've heard a lot of other stories since that kind of incorporate just a shapeshifter into the skinwalker, but they don't actually put the witchcraft part of it. They don't need to be summoned. They're just there. So I don't know if they would all, that if that's the case, if it is something that is a shapeshifter, I would assume it would kind of fall into cryptozoology, because they do put things like Mothman and the Jersey Devil, and those kind of things also kind of fall into cryptozoology as much as anything else. Now, here we don't have the skinwalker, but we do have the highest level belief in a shapeshifter called the Otter Man. Of course, we live at the coast, and we have otters and seals and, you know, those kind of animals. The only way you can tell that this, first off, they don't speak, and the only way you can tell what this is its teeth. The teeth don't change. They will stay the otter's teeth, which, you know, are kind of jagged and small. But that, there again, that is not something that is summoned. It's strictly, it's a creature that exists. It's here. It's amongst all of us now. Where, like I said, the original legend of the skinwalker, it was summoned by a witch.
Is the otter? What's the otter man? Is that just a man with small teeth, or what does it look like?
Shapeshifter. On many shapes. So I was actually told a story of an otter man sighting that happened, I believe, 3 years ago. And a lady had let her dog out for like the last time for the night, and she was standing on her porch with her dog, and she saw a man she didn't recognize was walking down the street, and she just was kind of looking at him, and he stopped and looked at her, and he came and he stood right at the end of her walkway. So needless to say, she spoke to him, and like, well, can I help you? And he didn't do anything. He didn't do it, you know. So he started walking closer to her, and she called her dog back, and again was like, is there something you want? And trying to talk to him. And he smiled, and she saw the teeth. And she did something to chase him off. And as he started to run, instead of continuing as a man, he first turned into a serpent-like creature until he got close to the water. And then as he started to touch the water, he turned the head, took the form of an otter, and to get away from her faster, he turned into basically a giant snake.
Is so the witness credible? Is the witness credible?
As far as I can tell, I don't know her well, but it's not something that she doesn't seem to be the kind of person that would be saying stuff of that nature. But you know, I will say this: I heard it secondhand. So I heard it from another person that had heard it from her. So I can't go completely. You know, I wouldn't bet the house on it. But that is the story I was told.
I mean, there's so much weird stuff that goes on out there that, you know, some of this stuff has to be legit. I mean, I've seen some weird stuff that I couldn't explain, and I know there's people out there that run into these creatures, and maybe in a lot of cases it's misidentification, maybe it's pharmaceutically induced, but there's got to be stuff to it. You know, there's just so many sightings out there. Some of them have to be real.
We actually have one that happened, not Otter Man, but one I had before, but now this one, the first person to see it, and apparently everyone knew about it, she didn't make a secret, she was actually very credible, and I would hope that there was nothing else involved in it, because she was actually driving, at the time. But with the closest town to us is, like I said before, I live in a small town here. So our next town over is about 45 minutes away. It's called Terrace, and that's where, like, our main hub is. It's got the Walmart in it and the movie theater and that kind of stuff. So basically, if you want to actually do anything, you have to go to Terrace. Well, one night she was driving back from Terrace, and she thought a bear had run out in front of her car, so of course she slams on the brakes, and it stood up on its hind legs, looked at her, and the easiest way to describe it would be almost that of a werewolf. She said it had almost the build of a bear, except for longer forearms and legs, but it had the face of a dog, and it continued running on two legs instead of four. It crossed the street, across the highway in front of her on two legs instead of four. It didn't go back until it went into the bush on the side of the road. Then it went back onto four legs and continued to go.
Oh, that is weird.
Story was told to me because about, I think it was about 2 months ago, someone else had it happen going the other direction. They were going to Prince George, which is the biggest big city, but it's like an 8-hour drive from here. And they had left in the early morning hours, at something like 5 o'clock, because they wanted to get to Prince George early. It's about a 6 to 8 hour drive, depending on how many stops you make. And again, this one though was standing on two legs on the side of the road, and they thought it was a person until it kind of darted, and when it started to run, it got down on all fours and ran. But they described the easiest, and like I said, I guess it would actually fit into a werewolf, because basically the body of a man. And they were saying it was fits also into the skinwalker thing. They also say that some of those take the shape of the wolf, but with a man's body. So I don't know exactly how that all fits in. But it's another one. There's a lot of legends up here in British Columbia, a lot of them.
Is that true, Joel, that the natives, they don't want to talk about it? So it's going to be hard for somebody to come forth and share their experiences, or let alone their beliefs?
Well, they're not. I haven't really experienced anyone like just flat out not really talking about it. But most of what I've learned has either been from seeing or from the few people that they know that I'm into this stuff, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, hey, did you hear about? But funny enough, the Haisla, actually, someone came in here and wrote a book on the Haisla, and it's actually escaping me, and it actually is the name of it, but it actually chronicles the hereditary chief structure, who's chief, you know, what clan and all of that, and how it goes back. Plus, each chief has a actual hereditary part of land in the village. And they also did the native foods, the ones, and how they prepared them, like the smoking and the canning and the preserving, that kind of thing. They also did a section on the legends. And the person who wrote it, it was written by three different, they basically did, was each one took a section, and they took, they came into the village in the early 90s, I believe it was, and interviewed anybody that would talk to them. And that's where I get a lot of my information from. Because it's funny, and it's also kind of difficult to strike up in a conversation. You know, it's not like going to be, oh, hey, how's the life of kids? Oh, by the way, what can you tell me about? And, you know, it's kind of awkward in a conversational sense.
Well, Sherry, I'm looking at the clock here, and we're just about out of time. So, Joel, I want to thank you for coming on and helping us out tonight. That's great.
Yeah, no thank problem. You for calling in. That was great. That was wonderful. Yes, to share and being able to let other people know. And Joel, let people know now that you're on air right now. Let people know about the not only the your website, your new website, and how to get a hold of you, just in case.
Yeah. Now the website is paranormalbc.com. We just got it up. Actually got up yesterday, up and going strong. Also, we have the contact on there, email, all of that stuff. But if not, it's easier. You can go to Facebook, look for Paranormal BC. Then, since they incorporated the app thing from Twitter, you can just go on Facebook and type, or even go into www.facebook.com and then Paranormal BC. You can find our Facebook page there. We do live streams every other week, and every week, on the other weeks, I do the live stream of the Paranormal Night Stalker. We take questions and have guests and all of that stuff. It's still quite a little bit unorganized because we're just switching over to this new network, but we're getting it worked out. That is Night Stalker Pod on Facebook, Twitter, or just about anywhere else. We're on iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spotify, and just about anywhere you want to hear it at. But it's all also on the website at www.paranormalbc.com.
Very cool. Well, thanks again, Joel, and hopefully we'll be talking to you again soon.
Yes.
No problem. Anytime.
Hey, thank you for calling. Wow, that's great having a guest and being able to, you know, be able to – the time goes so much faster. And you know, really, really Jason, I really enjoy talking to you. It's nice to have viewers calling in, and you know, it's just wonderful. I like that, having a little bit of connection, and it's just wonderful. So,
Absolutely. Well, you're so great at finding people, finding guests, and promoting the show. It's the success of the show is largely you're responsible for. So, thank you for that.
Well, you're very welcome, and we've. I've got to work on it a little bit more. I've been kind of slacking off. My life has taken a toll in a different way, but, you know, life is good, and, you know, things are expanding. And, yes, I do have to say this team is very professional, very, very good. I'm really happy with them, and I can't speak highly of enough for them. They are excellent. And so, anyway, next week we're going to try and pull. I'm going to try and pull a small round table. So I'm thinking about. I'm just going to go work on it. So with that and everything else happening in my life, I think I'll be able to pull one off. So, but yes, I want to thank our listeners for just being with us and following us and. You know, like I said, on Facebook, and anytime Jason and I post anything, it may not be of your interest, but may be of others. It's really for entertainment. It's all aspects of the paranormal. And, you know, like some people may take it personally. Please don't. It's just entertainment, different aspects of looking at conspiracy theory, everything. Just have an open mind, open heart, and just let it go. So, yeah.
Well, next week will be episode 213, which
wow.
I think is pretty impressive. Yeah. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Once,
hey!
Yeah, 213 weeks.
Well, it's been a pleasure to be with you. And as we continue to grow, help other teams like Joel's team and, you know, other people. And it's just wonderful. We're all in it together. We're all here to share and teach and learn and just to grow together and just love each other. So that's what the gist of being here is all about.
Absolutely. Well, with that, unless you have anything else, Sherry, we'll see everybody next Sunday right here on Blog Talk Radio, Paranormal Horizons. You can give us a like at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. I hope everybody has a fantastic and safe week, and we'll see everybody next Sunday. Good night, everyone.
Hey, take care. Thanks, everybody. Peace.